check in with him each and every Wednesday. Adrian Prashenko is the chief rugby league reporter for the Sydney Morning Herald. He's on the line right now. But before we talk rugby league, Adrian, I just want to congratulate you on your coverage of the George Kambosos fight. I liked what you said in the blog, and you said what a fight it was. Both men had to climb off the canvas, but Ferocious was the better man. While a slew of former footballers have been grabbing the headlines, Kambosos Jr. is the new face of Australian boxing. I thought you encapsulated that very well, mate.
Thank you, Julian. Much appreciated. And, yeah, he's a terrific Sydney story, George Kambosos Jr. And I spoke to Johnny Lewis just in the hours after that incredible victory, and he said that it was undoubtedly one of the greatest moments of boxing history in our country, which is, you know, fair praise from a guy who has trained 5 world champions, including Jeff Fenech and also Kostya Zou. It's just a great story. He's a fat kid who used to get teased and picked last for teams at school, and he turned to boxing, and it gave him a lot of self-belief, and it's such an unshakable self-belief that it's taken him to the very top of the world. He's claimed the WBA, IBF and WBO lightweight world titles, and he's a guy that Sydney siders haven't seen a lot of. He's fought basically 7 of his last fights overseas. He hasn't fought in Australia since 2017, but he's now calling the shots, and all of that is about to change. And a little bit of breaking George Kambosos Jr. news, there are some plans afoot for him to fight potentially in Parramatta at Commonwealth CommBank Stadium, I believe as it's now known, which is really exciting given that, you know, Tim and Kostya Zou have fought there before. And what a place and an opportunity for him to make his very first title defence.
He talked about 80,000 fighting down under. Well, you won't get 80,000, but there's no doubt he would pack out that stadium, and it just captures the noise so beautifully. So CommBank Stadium, hey, the good thing, it's walking distance from my house, Adrian, so I'd be more than happy to see Ferocious there. Mind you, these fights are on so late at night too, aren't they? You know, this is the hardest thing. Oh, we've got another undercard before the main event. Now, Brandon Smith, look, I wanted to make this a Brandon Smith-free zone, but we have to sort of tick this off. So this is what I'll say to the listeners, Adrian. After we talk about it today, you and me, the rest of the afternoon, we're not going to mention Brandon Smith again. But look, he's clearly on the nose there in Melbourne.
Yeah, honestly, like the Storm power brokers were so incensed that there's been some thought to basically sending him to Bondi Junction early, seeing as he's so keen to go there. And look, they can cop the fact that he's been, you know, parading himself quite shamelessly in a public manner or up and down the eastern seaboard, but what they won't cop is the fact that, you know, he promised that he'd give them a last crack at retaining his services. And, you know, obviously the stuff that he said on the podcast, you know, about the drinking culture and how much he loves the Roosters. Well, you know, the heads of Craig Bellamy, Frank Panisi and Matt Tripp almost exploded spontaneously when that happened. So I suspect that he will probably stay there because, well, one, he's a very good player and they need him, and the chances of winning a premiership are much better if he's there. And you know, he probably won't get an early release because the Roosters probably wouldn't be able to fit him under that sombrero of theirs.
Hey, aren't you meant to be an impartial, an impartial rugby league reporter? You couldn't help having a dig at the Roosters.
I couldn't have, I had to have a little dig. Look, you know, and look, there's a crowd over guys like Tui Kamikamita and Nelson Asofa Solomona. They can't afford another star forward, basically, to head off. So, you know, I know he's issued an apology, and it's certainly not the grovelling one that I expected, but he has got some major bridge building to do when he goes back to training on December 7th.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing from the Storm's perspective, they disagreed or they disapproved of the language he used and the accolades he was giving the Roosters club, but if he offered them last right of reply and didn't give it to them, for me, I think, Adrian, that is the ultimate breach of trust, given what the club has done for him and stood by him.
And the fact that the first day they knew that he wasn't going to be retained was when they heard about it on a podcast. Mm. I mean, that's the other issue. So
yeah, poor form.
Yeah, look, the whole focus now shifts to the NRL's transfer system and how players move between clubs and when they do so. Given that it's not just him, but there's been a lot of high profile players that have moved, whether it be Viliami Kikau or Reid Marnie or Isaiah Papali'i. Mm. So
Lua,
it's going to be a real issue for the NRL.
You know, we always hear this term optics, don't we? Because people are sort of stamping their feet about this. So Andrew Abdo probably had no choice but to respond and saying, look, the current system needs a rethink. But Clint Newton told me the other week, and I'm probably inclined to agree, Adrian, with the RLPA boss. Can you name me a system that is definitively better than the one we've got? I'm not sure we can at the moment.
Well, I had that very same conversation with Clint Newton last night, and I can tell you there's absolutely no appetite from the players to change.
Yeah.
And basically the first opportunity for any change to be effective would be when the current collective bargaining agreement ends, and that's 12 months away. Mm. And the players in the RLPA have to agree to any particular change, and I don't think they're going to do it. And I said to him, you know, has the NRL, you know, furnished you with a proposal? Have they given you an alternative? And he said that they have not. And he, you know, as you just touched upon, you know, there's all sorts of different models around the world, but they probably don't work for rugby league. You know, a draft system, you know, as is the case in a lot of American sports. I mean, that's set up for, you know, collegiate and school systems, and where the schools actually nurture the talent rather than the clubs themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a real... they're on a collision course, the two parties there.
Yeah, going to be interesting. So if you're Cam McInnes at the start of last season, signs with the Sharks and then does his knee, I mean, you're thinking, there's no way I'd change this system. Because if I had to wait to the end of the season, I wouldn't have got the cash that I've now secured for my family. And look, just further to that, one more thing. I'm a Dragons fan. Dreadfully disappointed with that McInnes news broke last year, but I'm not thinking, gee, the system has to change. It is what it is. You generally keep the players you want to keep, right? Unless there's an enormous amount of salary cap pressure. I think that's the bottom line. Anthony Milford, Adrian, the NRL has not yet registered his move to Souths.
Yeah, that's right. He's been charged with 3 counts of assault, occasioning actual bodily harm, and 1 count of willful damage involving a vehicle. There are some women that were involved in those incidents, and they have said that they will not register his contract. And it's not a good start for South in the post-Adam Reynolds era, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Not only has he moved on to Brisbane, but Benji Marshall's retired, and altogether, that's 577 NRL games of experience that's gone with them. And in their place, you've got the likes of, you know, Blake Taff and Lachlan Ilias and Dean Hawkins. And look, they're all terrific young prospects, but between them, they've played 15 NRL games.
Yeah.
You know, in Blake Taff's, you know, situation, he's played 9 games and 2 of those have been off the bench and the rest are at fullback.
Mm.
So it's just a huge challenge for a rookie coach like Jason Demetrio. Not a lot of people have had success following Wayne Bennett in, and puts a lot of pressure on the likes of Cody Walker as well, who's not an organising half, and, you know, they're going to have to make that work, and it's not going to be easy to do so.
Yeah, good halves, very hard to find in this competition, aren't they? Always good to get your thoughts, Adrian. Thank you so much. And just recapping, as Adrian has just written in the Sydney Morning Herald, plans are afoot to give new world champion George Ferocious Kambosos Jr. the ultimate homecoming, a title defence at Parramatta's CommBank Stadium. We'd love to see you. Thank you, mate. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you. All the best.
There he is. Adrian Bashenko, Chief Rugby League writer for the Sydney Morning Herald.